Well, Christmas is obviously an exciting time, especially for kids, as they unwrap presents and are involved in all the celebrations. But one of the songs that keeps being played in our home or in the shopping malls, if you've been around, is a song called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we're actually going to sing that as our closing song this morning. But here's some information about it, because I want to pick up on something that is written in there. The song Hark the Herald Angels Sing was written in 1739. Anyone born? No, I'm kidding. 1739, so a really, really long time ago. And it was written by a man by the name of Charles Wesley. And he wrote a lot of good, famous hymns, theologically rich, great tunes. And here's what he had to say in verse 3. And I want to pick up on what he says here as our Christmas service this morning. He says this in verse 3. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And there are three lines I want to pick up on, and they start with the word born. It is born that man no more may die. That's what Christmas morning is all about. We're celebrating the birth. The birth is the big idea. Easter, it's the death and the resurrection. But Christmas is all about Jesus being born. And so we're going to focus on these three statements. Born that man no more may die. That's really good news. I was going to say flippin' good news, but it is. Right? Think about it. Born that man may no more die. I mean, come on. This is incredible news. Because death comes to all. Death is not a respecter of persons. And death is one of those things that man fears most. Secondly, he says, born to raise the sons of earth. Well, what's that about? Well, it gets a little more confusing. Then he says, born to give them second birth. And if you've been around church, you'll know what he's talking about. But I'm going to explain this a little further. Charles Wesley is obviously writing this referring to two different births. So he says, born to give them second birth. He's obviously referring to the firstborn as Christ's birth. Christ's coming initiates another type of birth, another type of being born again, if you so like. And so he has the first birth in view, but he also has a second birth in view. The first birth leads to the second birth. The birth of Jesus produces a second birth. Now you might ask, well, is that necessary? Well, absolutely, and I'll show you why. And so we're going to look a little closer at these three lines under three headings. We're going to look at life, the life of Jesus, his birth, the new life that Jesus brings, the second birth, and the eternal life is the result. So the life that Jesus brings. Obviously, Christmas is about the life of Jesus. Glory to the newborn king. Luke 1 verse 23 starts off. It says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this is a very unique birth. This is a birth unlike any other birth. It is God in the flesh, God with us, Jesus, become man. And Christmas, therefore, is an invitation for us to get to know Christ personally. God in the flesh draws near to man. God condescends, God comes, God initiates, God takes the first response. We weren't interested. We were going about our normal business and God comes. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years earlier, prophesied and said this in Isaiah 9 verse 6, and you would have seen it on Facebook, you would have seen it written in all sorts of places, but have a look a little closer. It says, for to us a child is born. Now, I think this is 700 years before the birth of Christ. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In other words, he's going to be a king like no other king. He's going to be a ruler like no other ruler. He's not going to be a dictator. He's not going to be a hierarchical kind of leader, but he will be a leader. He will be a ruler. And this is what type of ruler he will be. It says, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Not dictator, but a wonderful counselor with great wisdom. Mighty God. So he's all wise and he's almighty God in the flesh. Everlasting Father, there will be no end to his reign, and Prince of Peace. What wonderful titles for the King of all kings. But just look closely there. I want you to be sure of what's being said here this morning. Because I want you to notice, as you look at that verse, it says that unto us a child is born. It is not saying a son is born. And this is very important. Because the Son of God is the eternal Son of God. The Son was given, the prophet says. The Son was not born. The child was born. This is important theologically that we do not confuse the two, because Jesus Christ wasn't an afterthought or a creation from God. He is the eternal Son. And that's why the prophet says, a child will be born, but the Son will be given. The Father's plan will come to pass. This isn't an afterthought. And I want to say to you this morning, you're not an afterthought. God's rescue plan for you wasn't a second plan. It wasn't plan B. It was his plan from the beginning. The Father and the Son in eternity past consulted together and said, this is how we're going to save mankind from their sin. We will send the Son. And the Son said, yes, Dad. I will go. Amen. The Son is given from eternity past, and the child Jesus is born into time present, born to be a king like no other king. But you know, obviously I'm excited about this birth, and I'm sure many of you are excited about it. But here's what's quite interesting is not everyone was excited about the birth of Jesus. Did you know that? And not everyone today is excited about Christmas. There are some people that hate Jesus. True. There are some people that hate him so much they're indifferent towards him. That's even worse. But that was true of when Jesus was born too. Herod was ruler at the time, and Herod was incredibly threatened by the birth of Jesus, because with his birth came the title King of the Jews, and Herod saw himself as the King of the Jews. This was a threat to Herod. And so Herod was upset. Herod was angered. The Pharisees were indifferent. The Pharisees knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, but then they couldn't be bothered. The Pharisees just went about their everyday business. But there were some wise men and they worshipped. And so people respond differently. Have a look at this. Luke explains it to us this way in Luke 2 verse 7. It says this concerning Mary. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no place for them in the inn. In fact, they'd been around to many places in Bethlehem and everyone shut the door in their face. They didn't want anything to do with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And so not everyone was excited about the birth of Jesus. And John, in John's gospel, he picks up on this reality that some were excited and some worshiped Jesus and some changed their lives completely around the fact that the Messiah was now born. And then he writes this in John 1 verse 11. It says that he, Jesus, came to his own. He came to his own. He came to his creation. The eternal creator God, Jesus, came to his own. And his own people, how did they respond? Did not receive him. What's going on here? Well, he came to his own and they didn't receive him. So simply acknowledging Jesus' birth is not enough, because they needed to receive him. So they, in all rites and purposes, the Jews of the day acknowledged it. They kind of went, okay, we recognize Mary, Joseph, we know them, we've got a history with them, but this person, Jesus, who you say he is, we don't receive that. We acknowledge that he's a baby, we acknowledge that he's a human being, we get that, but we're not going to receive him as the Messiah. We're not going to receive him as Emmanuel, God with us. And here's why, and this leads to my second point. So we looked at the life of Jesus, but what's this point that Charles Wesley's wanting to press home? Born to give them second birth, because that's what it requires in order to receive Christ as Lord. The reason why they couldn't receive him as Lord is because their hearts were dead. Their hearts were hard. And we see this in another story in John, where John speaks about this new birth. And he talks about a man by the name of Nicodemus. And you might know this story, but just three verses. It says in John 3, verse 1 to 3. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews." And so he was pretty high up the ranks. He was a teacher in Israel. He was a religious man. And look at his response. "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know,'" now listen to this carefully, "'we know that you are a teacher come from'" — where? "'From God.'" We acknowledge that you came from God. "'For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them.'" So they acknowledge his birth. They kind of celebrate Christmas. That's what Nicodemus would have done, like we do today. We celebrate Christmas, but is that enough? Is it enough to celebrate the birth of Jesus? Does that get you to eternity with him? And the answer is clearly no, because Jesus then says this. Jesus answered him and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so Nicodemus would have been absolutely freaked out, and that's exactly what we find, because in verse 4, Nicodemus responds and says this. Check this out. He says, "Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he's old?'" That's a fair question if he wasn't sure that Jesus was speaking spiritually. And at this point, he had no clue that Jesus was speaking spiritually. And then he says, "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" That's a very fair question. Jesus is not unreasonable. Jesus is just speaking spiritually, not physically. And so he helps Nicodemus in verse 6. He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." Physical brings about physical. "And that which is born of the spirit is spirit." And so we get some insight into what Charles Wesley is saying. He's saying Jesus was born to give them second birth. And it's the second birth that matters most. And so I want to say categorically here this morning that what God gave us at Christmas was not just his son, but what God gave us at Christmas is a whole new life. Yes, he gave us his son, but he gave us his son to produce in us a whole new life. Not just the same old ho-hum. Or ho-ho, as it would be today. Look again at what John says. He says, "He came to his own." Now please, listen to this. "And his own people did not receive him. But they did acknowledge him," right? Nicodemus is proof. Nicodemus is like, "We know you came from God. It was unique. It was amazing. There were stars. There were wise men. There were shepherds. There were gifts offered. There was something extraordinary going on. So we acknowledge your first birth, but we haven't yet received your second birth. What's going on here?" Then he says this in verse 12, "But to all who did receive him." So not only did they acknowledge him, they received him as Lord and Messiah. "But to all who did receive him," how did they receive him? "Who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born," look at this, "who were born, not physically," says, "not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." So guys, Christmas is all about, yes, the first birth, but massively about the second birth. We need to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. And now you might have heard about these born-againers, all right? I know it's quite a term that's thrown around. You know, it's the happy clappies or those who are born again. But that's just a caricature. It really is something that's in the Bible, as you can see here with your own eyes. John 3 speaks about it. John 1 speaks about it. 1 John 5 speaks about it. It's about a new birth, becoming a new creation, about a whole new life, living it in relationship with this Jesus who was once a baby, but now is a sovereign king and ruler. And so the verse is very clear. Not all receive him. And not, you know, to be born physically doesn't automatically mean you're a child of God. No, no. The text tells us he gave the right to become a child of God. You become a child of God through faith in Jesus, which is what it means to be born again. So Christmas is about the life of Jesus, and it's about new life from Jesus that Jesus breathes into us. Jesus brings into our lives. And it's not turning over a new leaf. It's not going, well, let me put a new resolution in place. No, it's a whole new life. And a new life brings new lifestyle. And so that brings me to the third and last point, and that is eternal life. We looked at the life of Jesus. We looked at new life from Jesus, which brings about eternal life with Jesus. Wesley ends his hymn. He says, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And unless you are born again, you cannot, not maybe, you cannot see, and later on he says, enter the kingdom of God. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about eternity with Jesus. It's not just acknowledging his birth. It's receiving the new birth that he brings by his Spirit. How do you get that? Well, it's through believing. And that believing is not simple acknowledgement. We see that because Nicodemus acknowledged. Nicodemus believed in one sense, but not in the most important sense. It hadn't changed his life. And the result is that those who are born again will never die the second death. So there's two births, your first birth, and then there's a second birth, which isn't natural, it's supernatural. God does it by his Spirit, and you need to turn to him, cry to him, look to him to receive that. But then there is a death, and that death is common to all, just like the first birth is common to all. But the second death can be bypassed, and that's the good news of Christmas. The second death can be escaped. Wesley says Christ was born to give them second birth, and born that man no more may die. What is he talking about? Well, check out this quote. Stephen Lawson says this, and I'm closing. He says, if you have only ever been born once, you will die twice. Let's just think this thing through carefully. If you have only been born once, you will die twice. You will die physically, and then there is an eternal death. If you don't have Jesus, and having Jesus means you've been born again into his family. Then he says, but if you have been born twice, you will only die once. That's what Christmas is about. It's about being born again. And the only way to be born again is not to just acknowledge Christ's birth, but to receive him. Not as a baby in a manger, but as a Lord and a Savior. And as you receive him, 1 John 1 verse 12, but to those who believed in him and received him, he gave the right to be a child of God. And so I want you to ask yourself this question. As we celebrate the child of God, Jesus, ask yourself this morning, am I a child of God? And if you want to be a child of God, you can. And that's the good news of Christmas. Because Jesus was born to give them second birth. And he will give it to you. What you got to do? You got to look to him in faith. Look to him. Trust him. Treasure him. Run to him. And you can have eternal life with them. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his son, Christmas. Why? That whoever believes in him, that's how you get the second birth. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Did you see the second death? That whoever believes in him should not perish. You can escape the second death and receive eternal life if you've been born again through faith in Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about the Son of God, but it's about a whole new life that the Son of God brings to us who believe. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the gift of all gifts, Jesus Christ, who was born unto man, born as a man. The child was born and the Son of God was given to rescue and redeem and reconcile man to God. Jesus was born to give us new birth, new life. And that life comes through faith, active faith, trusting faith, treasuring faith, treasuring Christ above all things. And I pray that this morning you, by your Spirit, Lord, would give that new birth to many, even now. Even as we acknowledge that it's not enough to be born once. It's not enough. We need to be born twice. Once physically and once spiritually. So that we may die only one death. And that death is a doorway to new life. And so as we sing the song, as we sing the lines that Wesley wrote, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts as we sing this now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing this glorious hymn that many, many saints through the ages have sung on this day.